welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Radio Show. You're on with the wise guys, and what a pleasure it is here to be with you. I'm Tuck and Aaron, myself, Roland, and we're here to encourage you and to help you look up, right?
Fret not.
Yeah, we're going to go through this whole thing about talking about what's going on in our world, but then the answers that are for us within Scripture. So,
do we have enough time to get to the answers, though?
I know, right?
Read Psalm 37.
You know, before even going here, Tuck was just making fun of the old days when we were driving down in our cars to faraway places, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we didn't have the cell phones anymore.
But preview cell phone.
Yeah, anymore. No, we didn't even have the cell phones, right? What did we have? These great big old towers, right, that we could put alongside our heads.
Yeah.
I would rather stop every 100 or every 1,000 miles or so and pull over and use a payphone.
Do you still remember that?
Yeah.
Like, do I have enough change? I wonder where my change is in the car.
I just
see nickel dime.
I just started watching a new show that's, set right now. He was telling this guy, you can go down the street down there, and there's a gas station just down the street there, and there's actually a payphone, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
It's a payphone. What is that?
What is a payphone?
Well, you put money in the slot and you can phone.
I've had people look at. Do you remember the old
rotary dial?
Yeah. I had a young person look at that and go, "What's that?
How do you push these buttons on here? They're not working." Chris Rock does a great bit on that. One of his things is like, "I try to remember calling my grandma." 9, 2, oh, I did it wrong. Okay, start all over. 9.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
Man, it's still raining here in Oregon, in case you guys want to know, as you listen to us. And even this morning, what was it, 35 degrees in the middle of April?
Yeah.
As rain comes down, I have not been able to mow my lawns for the last month.
I know it. I was literally looking at my yard going, it needs it right now, but it's so wet, you don't do it and clog everything up. And I'm about ready to go leave on a 2-week trip. And I'm going, when I get back, it's going to be bad.
Oh, it's going to be a mess. I've been watching the grass grow about an inch every night, so I'm walking out. Here's this small plot of land, right? About, 40 by 60?
Yeah.
And it looks like a field of boats.
You've got your own wheat field growing.
I was watching the wind the other day, and you can see
it moving through the grass.
Swaying.
Rollins 250 square foot wheat field.
I know, right? Oh my word. Okay, so are things waving for all of you out there? I sure hope so. I hope you're staying the course. I hope that you're willing to keep it up in this world of ours. Speaking of world, Aaron, what's going on in this day?
For history wise, yes, a lot of things happened, but, for significance sakes, not a lot. 1906 was the huge San Francisco quake.
Wasn't big enough, was it?
Depends upon your point of view.
Exactly.
It needed to be a little bigger.
Yeah. Somehow Nancy Pelosi managed to survive this one.
Yeah, I don't know how she did.
I don't think she was born yet.
Don't bring facts into my world. Yeah, 8. It was an 8.0 quake.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty big. Let's see what else. Dick Clark dies today.
Who is Dick Clark? Why is that so important?
Yeah, was the rock and roll.
Didn't he give the top 50?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. American Bandstand.
Top 30. Yeah,
American Bandstand. He was the voice of music radio.
Yeah.
Looked like a kid all his life.
Yeah. Let's see. That's kind of it. But there was two that kind of jumped out at me when I was looking through this. Okay. In 1775, Revere and Dawes warn of British attack. The British are coming. The British are coming.
Oh, yeah. Paul Revere.
But, you know, Facebook would have said, that's not true. Fact check that. Not all of the British are coming. Anyway.
But Paul Revere was a white guy. So he's probably.
So he's probably racist.
Yeah.
Okay, so
and
that
misogynist
one, so there was that, and then in 1942, Doolittle,
where Christopher Columbus saved.
No. 19.
Oh yeah.
1942, Doolittle leads the air raid on Tokyo. Uh-oh. So now the Americans are coming.
Yeah. I wonder how that was said. Ah, the Americans are coming.
No, I don't think that's so.
But I don't think they had a horse to ride.
No, they barely made it on their plane.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, so it just kind of jumped out as kind of interesting how these two very significant war events line up on the same day.
Isn't that interesting?
For the American history.
That has some biblical significance. We're going to have to ask Linda Watson here on one of these shows. Hey, isn't today a special day?
Oh, yes. It's National Charity Day.
National Charity Day.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. It means we're supposed to give to our neighbor?
Give me
Uncle Sam.
You can. Give me all your money.
What, to Uncle Sam?
No, to Uncle Tuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
IRS wouldn't be too happy with that, Uncle Tuck.
I was wondering why I was depressed coming to the radio station today, and I couldn't figure out why. What's hanging over me?
It's tax day.
Oh, yeah.
It's tax day. Wow. Or, as I like to say, National Charity Day.
National Charity Day.
At least that's what everybody tries to force down our throat on.
Well, I'm kind of curious, you know, as we look through this stuff, there was a conversation I keep hearing all the time, and don't worry, folks. We won't.
Is it just in your head?
It's just in my head.
Okay.
Yeah. It's.
It's like you like how I walked him into that one.
Roland, do this. No, hey, dude, no.
See, what's really bad, Roland, is when you argue with yourself.
That's terrible.
Hey, at least you always get to win.
I don't know if I've been winning lately.
When you argue with yourself?
Yes.
Okay, that's a problem there, because you need to always win
that.
And always lose.
That's right.
If you're always losing, you're really bad at arguing.
Well, here's the conversation. Okay. You want to know what the conversation is?
I'm not sure if I do, but for the purpose of saying, okay, let's go.
Okay, here it is. Where do you go? Where do you go in the face of evil? And right now, how far is evil being spread? Now, just before anyone gets depressed by hearing that, just know we will be headed towards some positive biblical texts with this. And also what...
Yeah, the world ends.
Yeah. Yeah, the world ends.
There's your positive. Yeah.
But we need to try to get an understanding of where do we go? You know, we will hear people constantly saying these sorts of comments, right? Oh, if, you know, Oregon has hit its worst end, or New York has hit its worst end, I'm out of here. Let's
California, leave. Yeah, whatever, yeah.
So what inspires you to leave, and when you leave, and how do you leave? So what inspires you to leave, when do you leave, and how do you leave, and is there anywhere to actually leave to?
Yeah, where are you going to go, yeah.
You know, and I think people are struggling with this a lot, especially Christians, Bible believers, Hebrews, they're all trying to figure out, well, I need to go. You know, now granted, some of you might decide to go pretty quick. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the latest riots. Were they in Chicago where 100 kids just started, hundreds of kids,
yeah,
not just 100, but teenagers,
mm-hmm,
took to the streets, smashing cars, beating up white people, going nuts. There was, I think, 7 kids that were shot. I think 2 that died.
Well, was it the kids that shot people or was it the guns that shot people?
Probably the guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the guns are definitely independent.
Right. I mean, that's why I got to keep my guns locked up so they don't go and randomly shoot somebody.
So they can just hop out of that case.
Yeah.
Put little legs on and go for it, right?
Yeah.
You know, but if I were to live there, I'd probably be saying to the wife,
it's time to go.
Time to go. Yeah. But then is it too late? And then where do you go?
Yeah.
You know, so
Manhattan, that'll do it.
That'll do it. And so,
go to Manhattan?
Yeah.
No.
What is the mindset?
San Francisco.
No.
You know, like
Wyoming.
Like with this in mind, let's talk about, I don't know if this is good or not, but do you ever watch those stupid nature, you know, films that show the alligator reaching up and grabbing the deer and the deer runs away and then he grabs again and the deer tries to fight back and then he grabs really hold of it and rolls with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see the deer, like I saw this one where the deer comes out of the water, the rest of the deer are looking at him from the embankment and the deer looks to the embankment and he lets out this cry. Ah,
help me! Help me! I can't! I can't!
Yeah, I even saw it was with a zebra crew once. I mean, here's the zebra being held onto by its back leg, and 4 zebras come down to the edge of the water, and they touch noses with the zebra who's being eaten alive by the alligator. I mean, this slow death is awful. I mean,
but see, I mean, look, think about this, though. How many times have we seen stories of people just standing around watching somebody get their head beat in?
I know.
And just watching the thing.
Yeah.
Instead of jumping in and like, get off him.
So there's 2 questions. When do we interact? And how does it feel to have a slow death? And are we even going through a slow death right now? I mean, is the life being suffocated from us?
No, it's glorious.
Well, I would say in the spirit world it would be, but.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so let's look at what a slow death looks like, and then we're going to come back to this question: is when do you leave? How do you leave?
Okay,
et cetera, and what type of hope do we have? But before we do this, so that we aren't misunderstood today with all this joking around, let's have a little prayer. All right,
that might be wise.
I think it's really wise. Abba, Father, we want to thank you for being who you are. You have told us to give constant praise, to lift up and worship you and you alone and nothing else. And when we do that, we find life. You've told us even with your commands, if you do these commands, you'll live. So the things that you've outlined for us, you've given us commands to do, you've also told us to even just give continual praise. And by doing so, we're able to face adversity. So, Father, as our world changes around us, and as we explore this just for a little bit, guide our thoughts and directions and continue to bring us back to your word, so that we know how to handle what's facing us currently. So, Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for your peace. Thank you for your strength, your wisdom, and the knowledge that you bestow upon us. So, Father, we lift ourselves up to you, and we give ourselves to you. In thy blessed name, amen.
Amen.
You know, I'm looking here. I was looking up the Constitution here for fun this morning, and there was
that old dusty document.
Yeah. So do you remember what the Sherman Antitrust Act is?
Not offhand, no.
Tuck?
Nope.
It's one of the first federal statutes put in place to limit the power of monopolies.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. Now, have you guys ever played Monopoly?
Oh, yeah.
I dominate Monopoly.
Right. Isn't that – it's quite the game.
I monopolize Monopoly.
Okay. So how do your – the people play against you, what eventually happens to them because you've put so many houses and you've owned so many properties and you got hotels and they keep running out of money?
They become my minions.
Yeah. And they eventually die a slow death, right? I mean, they might have money at the beginning.
I don't kill them.
They quit. They quit. So I'm not playing with you anymore, Dad.
They don't take you, Tuck. They just give up. I can't do this anymore. You own all the land. You own all the hotels. You own all the houses. I'm just giving up. That's the ugly side of Monopoly. Now, you're probably enjoying it, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, the anti the servant.
I enjoy having people.
He enjoys crushing
them. Well, back to the old days.
At least until I got married and all my girls, you know, beat me at all the games. But, yeah. You know, in my mind, I still dominate.
Back in the old days, the Sherman Antitrust Act was put into place here in the U.S. because there's only a few people that had money.
To try and prevent.
Try to
those.
Prevent.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was the advent of monopolies, so they put in competition laws that would make things a little bit more even. The main purpose of this
Google.
Yeah. The main purpose of this act was to prevent companies from gathering too much power. Because what happens with power? It becomes corrupted, right?
No.
Power
no.
corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely.
Absolutely. And so right now we have a few companies that are starting to own this entire world. And they are manipulating and monopolizing even governments. Even in fact, I was looking up an article done by Bloomberg today. And
speaking
of monopoly, they actually call BlackRock the fourth branch of government. What's BlackRock?
I was just going to say, who is this?
That's a company that owns land, money markets, all those sorts of things. They own newsrooms. They own what goes out in them. It's a huge company that monopolizes. And we have
BlackRock. Do you have any figures? I mean, how big are they?
Well, BlackRock, along with Vanguard, are predicted to have the investment power of $20 trillion. That means they almost own everything that we can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's almost, but not quite, the size of our national debt.
Mm-hmm. 20 trillion is 1 million million.
Thank you, Doc.
So that's a big number.
That is a very big number.
Well, they control land, they control investments, they control all the central banks. Central meaning banks who lend us money.
Yeah.
It develops
the banks who control banks.
Yeah. It develops the software that the central banks all use. They've had employees in the White House for the last 20 some years. Interesting. Interesting. These two companies are also owned by the people that supply these are the powerful families that have owned the world for a long time. The Rockefellers, all those sorts of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they just gotten a different name. Okay? Wow. They control 99% of virtually all the money that's in this world. And we've allowed that to happen.
Yep.
Isn't that strange?
No, it's typical of human beings. My concern is that the greater majority of people, and I don't know if it's 51% or 75%, but I think the greater majority of people are fearful of that. Instead of relying upon Yahweh, relying upon their God, the God, for salvation. Mm-hmm. Because the only thing he has to work with as far as how we see, how we view the world, to work his will is imperfect beings.
Mm-hmm.
That's us, people.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how skilled you are, no matter how perfect you are, You are an imperfect being in comparison to Yahweh. And that's all he has to work his will, is these beings, us. And so it's like you said, you came in to this morning and said, we're going to, you know, do Psalm 37. So I got it out and I read it.
That's what we're going to be reading.
And it opens up. It doesn't begin to get to it. It opens up with fret not. That's the first two words, is fret not. Mm-hmm. And Yahweh says, all these things are going to take place. Bad's going to do this. Good's going to do this. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And do not fret. Do not worry, because these things will happen.
I think when we come back after the break, we're actually going to be reading that chapter in its entirety, just to give us some concepts. And I think the reason why that's given is because Yahweh wants us to have life. In fact, from Bereshit in Genesis, he breathed life into us. And then he said, go and what? Multiply.
Yeah.
Go and take care of the garden.
Oh, I thought that was go and monopolize.
No. Because what happens to the human spirit, even as I read this to you about Vanguard and BlackRock,
I felt so much security. I felt peace all leaving my body.
Right?
Leaving your body, yeah.
Leaving. It was causing us to give up. This is why that monopolized thing is so terrible, because it's like a slow dying.
What's the point of trying?
Right.
That's what people are saying.
See, if we just had some kind of larger organization to address that, you know, clearly it sounds like the U.S. government is kind of tied in with them. So maybe if there was like a world government that said, hey, you over there, you shouldn't be doing that. Maybe if we had that would kind of help.
You mean like the United Nations?
Sure, yes. That would be great.
I think this morning you said there's 50 of them. So we've got, what, the World Trade Organization, the World Bank.
World Health Organization.
World Economic Forum. North Atlantic treaties.
Yeah.
The NATO.
Right. And there's, you know, just a, you know, massive list of these world organizations.
All protecting their power. They're monopolizing.
Right. Power. League of Nations. Yeah. Council of Europe. You know, UNESCO, which I had forgotten about that one, which that one is. Oh, look at the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization.
But there's a way out.
Okay? Oh, World Bank.
World Bank. It's controlling the whole thing. Let me give you a positive side of the little nature story.
Okay.
I saw this one water buffalo.
Crocodile murdering that deer?
This is a water buffalo, okay? And the lion's on his back, and the lion gets the water buffalo down on the ground. And the water buffalo looks like he's given up. In fact, everything says, I'm done. But then he moved just a little bit and all of a sudden felt a little bit of freedom. And he stuck his horn right into that lion.
All right.
For just a second, was able to get up and took off. I mean, it was pretty amazing. He never gave up. When you think we're being monopolized, there is a promise. And mm-hmm. I think the promise comes from the study of Scripture. In order for us not to give up, to continue to look for the Lord's leading. When we come back, we're going to be reading Psalms 37. So we want to encourage you to pull out Psalms 37, get ready to read it with us. And line by line, I'm convinced you'll be blessed. In between time, go to Hebrew Nation Radio. Give a donation so they can keep on working for you. So the other monopolies.
don't just cheat them up.
Don't take us out, man. We'll be right back.
Through the darkest night, through the shadow of death, to the light.
listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys, where we're going to be encouraging you to stay the course and not to die a slow death from the monopoly of evil durls in this world. Yeah, World Trade Organization, World Bank, Vanguard, BlackRock, World Alliance, World Economic Forum. They're coming after us.
You know,
they're going to destroy us.
What we need is just a computer system that just has all of the answers for us and kind of keeps us right in line, because, you know, it's a software program. It's only going to do what it's supposed to program to do. Just do what is right, and then we can have, oh, yes, that's what we're supposed to be. Thank you, great computer, for reminding us to come back to our center. And what better company than one of the biggest companies, Google?
Yes. Oh, yeah. The one that owns all
they've
of
got
them.
All the information, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've got your information. They've got Tuck's information. They got my information. Why not just have them just kind of create this? I don't know what you would call it, but some kind of smart thing.
So what has AI found out about the human race? I mean, I thought it came up to some pretty good conclusions.
Well, it depends on what good is. It said we were idiots and need to be destroyed.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know.
The conclusion. Well, we can't.
Do you see that report that just came out? The CEO, I can't think of his name. It's an Indian name, I think. He came out and said, this is the head of the company.
That's right.
Of Google said he doesn't even know what the AI program of their own is doing, because it's created a whole new language on its own.
Wow. Do not fret, Aaron. Do not fret. We're going to be reading Psalms.
Oh, I'm not fretting. Yeah. I know the world's ending badly.
The world's ending, but we have another life to be concerned about, and that's what we're going to get into. We're going to read Psalms 37. We're also going to get into our Torah section here at the top of the hour. But right now, like we've told you, pull out Psalms 37. Get ready to read it with us. And, yeah. Tuck, start us off. Read us the first five. I'll read the next five. Aaron, do you have a Bible with you?
I do.
Okay. So we'll just do 5, 5, 5 all the way down. Go for it, Tuck.
Fret not because of evildoers, neither be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon wither like grass and fade away as the green herbs. Trust in Yahweh and do good. Dwell in the land and seek after faithfulness. Trust in Yahweh, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to Yahweh. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
Okay. We're going to have to do small little things. Okay? What did you notice in there? What struck you?
Well, one, mine said it a little differently. It says, delight thyself also in Yahweh.
Yeah, that's come into his presence. Be there with him.
Yeah.
And as we delight ourselves in him, he gives us the desires of our heart. Now, that doesn't, you know, the prosperity message has always been, this is riches.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to give you a house, the car, lots of money, blah, 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 blah. But as we found out, our landscape is changing. It's being owned by the monopolies. Do I want that desire? No, I want the peace. I want the knowledge. I want the wisdom that only comes from Yahweh to know how to deal with these evildoers. So the desires of my heart many times is to find him.
Yeah.
You ever notice this? I mean, we'd actually brought this up last Sabbath at our congregations, how when you accept the Lord into your life, your heart starts to change. And all those evil things you used to find pleasure in start to go away. You look at something and you go, that doesn't interest me anymore.
Because
my desires of my heart are on heavenly things, spiritual things. No longer are they on worldly things. Notice, too, it says, trust the Lord, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Now, if I were to look at this land, you have to remember that the Hebrew people lived in Canaan and they were surrounded by evildoers.
Still are.
Yes. So dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. That means I have to learn how to have faith in Yahweh for the placement that he's given me, whether I stay or whether I leave. Let's go to verse 6 and into 10. Do you want to read it or do you want me to read it? And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light.
Whoa.
And your judgment as the noonday. I'm thinking, wow. Rest in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Oh, I love that. I'm going to come into him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way. So don't fret against these evil guys that prosper all around you because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It leads only to evil doing. For evil doers will be cut off. But those who wait for Yahweh, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. Whoa! That is an action-packed section.
Yeah. One thing that jumped out because of translation for me is back up in 6. It says, and he will make thy righteousness to go forth as the light and thy justice as the noonday.
Isn't that nice?
So is this kind of a little different? What did you say in that?
And your judgment as the noonday. But justice is part of this because those are the weightier matters.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we talk about weightier matters, it's love, peace, justice, all those sorts of things that we have to learn how to do.
Yeah. And I liked how it's set of the judgment, because judgment in our minds a lot of times will sound negative, but justice actually gives a positive, shows the positive side.
And that's
the judgment.
That's so funny, because when you exert judgment, you make justice.
Right.
I mean, why people react that way is surprising to me, because they are one and the same. They're so intertwined.
Yeah, but we'll think on the negative side of it. Yeah.
Yeah. To let us know how justice feels. I mean, right now we know that the world is taking the side of the criminal, saying he can't help himself. Therefore, we should allow him to rob, maim, rape, steal, pillage.
But based upon that, I mean, that's what's so inane, because if that was true, then there should be nothing wrong with me rising up and going and killing that guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because I'm just doing what I feel I must,
But here it tells us that when we rest in Yahweh, it's his light that shines out of us.
Well, and that's what we're not waiting for anything. We're waiting on him. That's what we're waiting on.
Yeah.
It's his judgment.
You know, I've always had this struggle, too. I always look around, and I know most people do. In fact, I had this young person come up to me the other day and go, why do the rich always seem to get richer, and anyone who follows the Lord just don't seem to do very well? What is with that? But here it tells us, fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, which tells us, don't judge that person's wealth, okay? Because maybe it's his way, maybe it's the Lord's way, but at least if it's none of my business, basically, because the man who carries out wicked schemes, I can see wicked schemes. So if I'm looking at some of these power players in the world, I don't need to envy them.
No, they will get their just desserts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a friend of mine who is going through what looks like it'll end in a divorce. And they're going to probably be able to keep the house, but now financially it's going to create all this extra, issue financially for them. and the other person who's just going off and going to have this hay all time. And my friend was like, "This I don't see the better good in here. Mm. This is just so unfair that I'm having to take on all of this responsibility, and they're just going off, and they're going to enjoy this whole new relationship over here."
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to help in the – they're going to get their due.
They will. You know, because – but look at the other thing that's here.
It's just hard to wait for that.
but look at the advice given to you. Fret not yourself, because it only leads to evil doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so again, how did we start to feel when we started listing all these monopolies in the world? It made us kind of depressed, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's evil.
Yeah.
Because no longer am I speaking joy, no longer am I speaking righteousness. I'm getting depressed and I'm giving up
mm-hmm.
from the monopoly. I'm dying a slow death. But when I stop fretting and I go, this is in Yahweh's hands. I'm going to pray for this person. I'm going to intercede. I'm going to seek righteous judgment. Whenever I seek righteous judgment, in fact, a text just came in saying we need to seek righteous judgment. When I do that, I'm allowing God to be the judge.
Yeah.
And then I feel, okay, it's yours. And I love the verse 10. In a little while, the wicked man will be no more.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, right?
That time is coming.
All right, Aaron, 11 through 15, go for it.
But the meek shall inherit the land and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just. And this is one of the problems I have with these. And gnashes
at him.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a tongue twister right in that one word. And gnashes upon him with his teeth. The Lord will laugh at him, and he seeth that, and I'm not even the King James here. Wow. and he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have donned out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as are upright in the way. The sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken.
Now, it's interesting, in verse 12, that your version changed quite a bit.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm going to see what Tuck says here, too. But mine says, the wicked plots against the righteous, okay? Mm-hmm. And gnashes at him with his teeth. But in verse 13, Yahweh laughs at him. For he sees his day is coming.
Huh.
I love that. You know, it's because, wow. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright. We know that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Because when we read the book of Revelation, we know that this is coming through these horses. But we do know that Yahweh wins this fight.
Yeah.
Hey, Tuck, go to verse 16.
A little that a righteous man has is better than the great riches of the wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but Yahweh upholds the righteous. Yahweh knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. For the wicked shall perish, and the rich who are enemies of Yahweh shall be consumed. They shall vanish like smoke.
That has its own commentary. That is beautiful. 21. The wicked borrows and does not pay back. Oh, we know that.
Huh.
April 18, tax day. But the righteous is gracious and gives. For those blessed by him will inherit the land, but those cursed by Yahweh will be cut off. The steps of a man are established by Yahweh, and he delights in his way. That means Yahweh delights in your way. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because Yahweh is one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. Wow. Go ahead, Aaron.
All the day long he dealeth graciously and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For Yahweh loveth justice, mm-hmm. and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous talketh of wisdom, and his tongue speaketh justice.
Thank goodness. Tech 31.
The law of Elohim is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked lies in wait for the righteous and seeks to slay him. Yahweh will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Trust in Yahweh and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. For I have seen the wicked boasting and spreading himself like stout forest trees.
Then he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright. For the man of peace will have posterity. But transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from Yahweh. He is their strength in time of trouble. And Yahweh helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him.
Nice.
Wow. I was watching this other nature show.
Let me guess. You've gotten tired of regular television. Yeah, you're just going straight to nature.
It's just all corrupt. It sucks. Okay, so I saw this lioness being surrounded by hyenas.
Okay.
Okay? And she was fighting them off as best as she could.
Mm-hmm.
She was a righteous lion. And I don't know if you've seen hyenas, but they are just ugly and wicked. Oh, yeah. Terrible. So she's making this noise. And then the head beast, the head lion, the male lion shows up. He's magnificent. He has this huge mane on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he just comes in and just rips these hyenas apart. Wow. It was just amazing watching him work.
Yeah.
Even though the lioness was strong herself, she just needed that support. You know, in what I see here.
So who's the lion?
Well, Yahweh. The big male lion to him. I mean, he comes in and he rescues us from these stupid hyenas that surround us.
Yeah.
You know, that are evil.
Yapping little dogs.
Yeah. I know, right? You know, but this is so amazing when you read this text.
Yeah.
Wow. Even all the way down to the steps of a man are established by Yahweh, and he delights in us.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of steps do we take? Think about what's happening in our world today. What are we making steps of righteousness? What do those steps look like? So let's go back to some of our earlier comments. When do you leave? How do you leave? Where do you leave?
Yeah.
So how do you know your steps? If we just read this, we just read this text. How do you know when, where, how?
You communicate with the Lord. You do your best in that regard, and hopefully you'll hear.
So my first step would be in him. That means,
yeah.
Because if I'm in his presence, I'm going to hear.
All right.
That's a wonderful command.
I mean, the best, because I've talked about, leaving this state because I completely disagree with, politically stuff that's going on with the state and just how it's being run and whatnot. And feel like, why am I still here? What's the reason for being here? So I've gone through that path. And I have to believe that if the decision to leave came it would be because there was an answer of where to go to. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd feel the calling to, you know, wherever that was.
That's going to lead us into this next section, because how do I know I'm hearing my flesh, or how do I know I'm hearing Yahweh? Mm-hmm. Do we blind ourselves to his calling because we're thinking I'm comfortable, it'd be too much work to move somewhere else? Or am I thinking I want to go somewhere else because of my flesh? I don't like what it is. I mean, there's two sides of that argument that you're having with yourself, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it going to be safe over here? And am I running because of safety?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I staying because of comfortability?
Right.
There's a great example of that with the story of Lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lot was willing to take the angel's hand and leave, all right? But his wife was going,
no, I like it back there. That's my home.
I don't want to leave. And even the kids in his household,
mm-hmm.
I mean, didn't want to leave.
Well,
friends are here.
Yeah, and he didn't at first either until he kind of realized, okay, things turned real quick here. And it crossed his line for him. He's like, okay, I guess you're right. We do got to go.
Time to go.
Yeah.
So how many of you out there having arguments with yourself? We'd love to hear from you. You can write into us at the number 3.
WiseGuys@HebrewNation.net.
That's the number 3.
WiseGuys@HebrewNation.net.
Tell us about what you're thinking. I mean, it's when would you leave, and how do you get into the Messiah? How do you get into Yahweh? How do you stop hearing your flesh and start hearing what maybe he's saying to you? How do you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because many of us are filled with our own fleshly desires.
I mean,
we all want to be rich because we feel that money solves just about everything, right?
Well, that's the foible.
Yeah.
That is not necessarily true. Can be true in certain regards, but I don't think that's a fail-safe.
Yeah, I don't think it truly solves, but it certainly makes it easier to deal with
life,
you know, because now you don't have to worry about, okay, where am I getting my income from? How am I going to buy my groceries? How am I going to pay for my house? How am I going to, you know, it takes care of some of those worries, but now you're going to have to deal with other things at that point too.
Maybe you have to worry about now being moral. Morality.
Yeah.
Maybe you have to worry about now being a person of justice or of kindness.
Yeah.
Are you using the wealth that Yahweh's given you?
Right. Yeah. I mean, because what happens so often in that is you start thinking, oh, I can do this. I've got the power and authority to take care of myself now.
I don't need Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Guy, I just heard that on a description. This was an argument about someone who is proclaiming to a pastor that they're perfectly fine now being a transgender. Why? Because they have money, they have a job, and being a transgender makes me happy. And so the pastor looked at him and he said, so you don't need God anymore, do you? And that stopped the person from speaking.
Because
I'm God in myself.
Yeah.
I have money, I have work, I have a car, I have a house, and I can change my gender.
Yeah.
Welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, His people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. How do we not fret?
You just don't do it. Just yep, I'm not going to do it. Whatever.
I know, right? You know, the world seems to be pretty crazy. In the first half hour, we were talking about all the monopolies that we're facing and the evil that surrounds us, the control. You know,
I was just going to use that same word.
Dude, I think we're becoming like China. Okay, you know how China, like, you cannot move without having some sort of record to where they follow you. Like, what's your credit like? Mm-hmm. What's this like? And if you don't show these things, you don't get access to a bank, or you don't get blank, blank, blank.
Right.
Or you don't get a driver's license.
What do you mean becoming like China? I think we've been like her for a long time.
Well, yeah. Well, let me give you an example. Oh, okay, so Rollins trying to, you know, have a little vacation. I mean, I haven't had a real vacation.
What, one-day vacation?
Yeah, we're looking for a two-day vacation only.
Okay.
And I'm asking to go to this Airbnb place in Eastern Oregon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you now have to put in a request so that the guy approves you.
Yeah.
All right? So here's our response, because I put in the request yesterday. And I thought I did all the right things, but maybe I didn't. You know, I thought I put in my name. I thought I did this. So here's his response. I'm looking at it right now. No name, no reviews, and a member since 2020. Doesn't add up. I'm not comfortable with this guest. I'm going, what? So I'm going to write back, well, we've only used Airbnb once. That was back in 2020. I think it was for one night. I wouldn't mind using your place, man. You know, but didn't know I had to be a member. Didn't know I had to have a track record. It's all new to us.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So you won't even take my money?
No. No. You have to fit in their model.
I know, right?
I mean, you know, I was telling you that we're getting ready to go on this trip. We actually, I think all of our nights are, we found through Airbnb. And we had to make one change because we were going to be staying in this guy's RV. I know it sounds really sketchy, but, we had to make that change because the guy died.
Oh, wow.
We get this notice of like, yeah, sorry, we're going to have to cancel your thing because we're no longer doing this because the owner of the place just died. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
So one of our nights, we actually get to stay in a covered wagon.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, it's more than a covered wagon. It's not just a little tiny thing. It's just in the shape of, you know, it's this outdoor tent-like thing that is shaped like a giant covered wagon. And we thought, oh, that would be so fun because we're watching Little House on the Prairie with our girls, and they just love that theme. And I thought, oh, this is going to be fun right out in the middle of Utah somewhere. So anyway, yeah. But, you know, going through all of those steps, you have to play by their rules.
But how do you start? I mean, okay, help me out, because you travel.
I
so,
do.
So then how do I even start? I mean, okay, I don't have a track record. I don't have reviews. You have to start somewhere.
You have to start with credit.
Well, what you start off with, Roland, is when you write somebody saying, excuse me, sir, I'm new at this. I've heard of you. Give me a hand here. I want to build credit. I want to build a system for myself. Can I stay with you? You know, don't just come in clean and say, expect to get all this gold treatment without making the admission that you're a newbie.
Well, gold treatment, I mean, if you're renting out something, I mean, don't you want money? Anyways.
No, we don't need this. What'd you call it again? Money? Yeah, we don't need that thing anymore. That's so 2020. I mean,
there's enough people out there willing to spend their money that they're going to make demands, so to speak, upon you,
yeah,
the customer. So if you play their game, they'll treat you with respect. If you don't play their game, they won't, because there's other customers. They can drop you and go get another one.
Wow.
That's where you have to look at it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, well, hey, be that as may, let's do this because we're doing something that's kind of important for us to understand right now. We're inspecting our way of operation. And there's guidance in this, even in Torah.
Really?
Yeah. Can you believe it?
Well, I can.
Well, Yahweh says, test me. He's always telling us to test him.
Well, that is the obvious one. But we have this one section that's pretty gross in the Torah. It's called the test of leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's gross. I think it's just gross. a matter of fact.
Scabs and rings and pus and
somebody's
got to
do it. Come on, Roland.
Someone has to do it.
There's a reason I didn't go into medicine.
Yeah. That's why, I mean, my sister, my youngest older sister, was a surgical nurse.
Okay.
And when she was going to school, she'd come home from classes. Boy, we got to skin a cadaver today. Man, that was so cool. And she was just excited, just all to beat. And she was describing cutting into a human body. It was dead, of course, and it was preserved, of course. But she was cutting into the human body, discovering how it worked.
Yeah.
And some people are wired that way, and she was.
So she thinks it's cool.
Oh, it was really cool, and I can get it from her perspective.
And you think pus is cool.
it wouldn't be my choice to look at every day, but I wouldn't freak out. No, it's just what it is. You know? It's like, have you ever had a major wound that you saw? I saw my finger get knocked off by a log falling on it, and I whipped my glove off, and my finger just went beep and was hanging by a piece of skin.
Where is it now?
It's right there.
Your finger's on now.
It was sewed back on.
Good for you.
But it was, you know, one of those deals to where you saw a gross thing, but it was what it was. And me getting freaked out about it wasn't going to help me any bit.
Okay, so let me rephrase it, all right, to make it more accurate for you.
No, I'm just saying.
It seems like,
okay,
with all the inspection of how color looks, the ring looks,
it could be being a gross
leprosy
thing. It could be a touch and go thing.
Well, yeah, typically in Bible you look for things like words that make you feel good.
Yeah.
Right? But here we are in chapters that talk about gross things. Well, I can't say that to you.
This is human. You can say anything you want to me, but I'm just saying human beings are that way.
Gross.
Well, that's true.
We can't be. If it wasn't for Yahweh, we would kill ourselves.
Oh, yeah. But I'm talking about, I mean.
Well,
I,
we do that anyway.
Well,
right?
I know.
But I guess we are gross. We start to stink after a while.
Yeah.
We have bad breath.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The gas at the other end doesn't smell great.
Mm-hmm.
And
wait, which one are you talking about? Because, you know, some people talking, you know.
Out of both ends?
Yes.
But, it's, you know, I mean, it is what it is. If you deal with it correctly and properly, it's not that big of a deal.
Okay, well, let's talk about speaking out of both ends because it has to do a little bit with this Torah portion, okay? Tezeria Metzorah, okay? And last week, do you remember what we talked about?
Shemini. The eighth.
Which was the eighth, which also, it's a section on prohibiting certain types of foods. Many of you have looked at those sorts of things because we're thinking to myself, well, what goes into me must come out.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you know, what does it mean to be in him? What does it mean to be in ourselves? And we come up with this idea that if we're in him, we no longer desire world contamination. We no longer desire that which is unclean. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And but this week, we have a little bit of a different one because it actually teaches about harmful speech, because harmful speech is the basis of this disease that we call leprosy. All right. It's interesting to me that it centers around some of this stuff.
Well, and that's the thing is that
what comes out of her mouth.
This is a pet peeve of mine because it's not leprosy. Leprosy is a man-made, you know, it's a description of Hansen's disease.
Yes.
What we're talking about here scripturally is Zot-Rot.
Yes.
Zot-Rot is a disease given by Yahweh, not given by a bug.
Yes.
It's given by Yahweh for foul speech, for Lashon Hara.
Yeah.
And so that's why I really get upset sometimes when we keep calling it leprosy, because it's not leprosy. Leprosy is a totally different thing.
Yes.
It may be similar in some regards, but it's not leprosy. It's Zot-Rot.
Yes.
And we need to take the effort to say that, and because that's what in Scripture.
Well, in English terms,
but it's not English terms.
I know. So we're helping people understand this,
that
the Scriptures, what they're talking about is this disease that comes upon because of speech that has been divisive in the camp or seeks to bring out falseness or an evil tongue.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. We get to see a lot of this, right? I mean, and so there's this separation. There's this separation that says, hey, you need to sit outside the camp for a little while and be inspected by the high priest. Now, some people might think, well, that's so terrible. So is sitting out the camp, being sent outside the camp, is that punitive or is it corrective?
Should be corrective because you're safeguarding the camp along with safeguarding yourself.
Right on.
Because that's the reason why, I think the main reason why you're put outside the camp is to protect everybody else from you.
But see, and here's
I love that Tuck.
Yeah.
He emphasized that pretty well.
Yeah.
We're protected from you, baby.
And here's where we are today is, well, you're just being mean. You're sending that person out. You're picking on that person and send them out away. And we forget about, like Tuck said, no, this is for protection for everybody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't want to go down this route because of the whole COVID decade that we just went through.
Yeah.
But you know, cause there are parallels in there, but the whole idea is, no, this is that practice was for the protection of everyone else. It wasn't picking on this person. Hey, you did a bad thing. You go over there and sit in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's that aspect as well,
but why not? I mean, many times, I remember teaching middle school, and I would ask Johnny sometimes to go outside of the classroom to think about it. Okay.
Yeah. If you watch Little House on the Prairie, watch We Have Been, you know, there was the one kid who was always, go stand in the corner. It's like, go stand in the corner.
You know, before you come back in the conversation, sit in your own pew for a minute and decide if you really do stink or if you're not stinking.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We used to do that because by people, when we get out of control, wouldn't that be cool? When you're hearing these people gnash their teeth like what we just read in Psalms 37. Hey, you need to sit outside for a minute, gnash your teeth by yourself, and then figure out if you're righteous enough to come back into the camp.
I mean, we do with that with our girls. You know, sometimes you need a time out.
Well, and I've always tried to wonder what gnashing your teeth is. I mean, is that an actual grinding of the teeth? Or is it gnashing of the teeth is manipulating the language into something evil?
That's a good question. I mean, yeah, we need to look at it because we see the Pharisees gnashing their teeth when they met Stephen.
Right.
Because Stephen was only speaking holiness and evilness couldn't handle it.
Yeah, and they couldn't handle it.
No, and we see that nowadays. Even on these interviews of people that want to promote evil, they'll leave the conversation by going, I can't handle this. I'm leaving. Or I'm not going to listen to you.
See you later. Yeah. Stay gone.
Stay gone. So this Tazaria Metzorah. The Metzorah is the time met for inspection. It means to examine or to correct your poor behavior. So we're seeing a disease that comes upon you because of your evilness that's given to you by Yahweh. Is that Zot-Rot?
Zot-Rot.
Zot-Rot.
Yeah.
So that's what's being bestowed upon you by Yahweh. And then we're looking at the other term,
Metzorah, which is the idea of being inspected.
Yeah.
So the question arises, do we ever separate ourselves from God? So let's look at Romans 8, 6 to 7.
8, 6, and 7?
Romans 8, 6, and 7. We read this. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward Yahweh, for it does not subject itself to the law of Yahweh, it's not even able to do so. That's an action-packed verse.
Yeah.
If our mind is set on the flesh, well, what does flesh mean? That which is of benefit only to me.
Right, to us as a person.
Okay. It's close to the opposite of spiritual.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm looking out for me, number one,
right.
Period. All right? And I don't necessarily think about spiritual life and peace. And the mindset of the spirit means I might be put in this place right now to give someone else spiritual awakeness.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm only in this place right now to feed only myself, I'm going to have death. I'll eventually die here. I'll give up. The mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God. That's what we started just talk about before the end of the break. I have money. I have a car. I have a job. I can transgender myself. I do not need God.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hostile towards him. All right? For it does not subject itself to the law of God. Well, what are the laws of God? I mean, we're given quite a few of them. We have the 10. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one who saves you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Therefore, don't take my name in vain. Don't worship other gods. You know, honor me, keep my Sabbaths, do all these sorts of things.
Well, and then, you know, the greatest command.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are the laws of God. But if I'm loving my neighbor, never mind. One that's hostile towards God can't even love their neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think like that. They think about only themselves. Okay. So if I'm outside the camp, I need to be introspected by God so I can become subject to him. Think about this. Can a person be healed if they don't recognize their symptoms?
No.
Right?
Because they don't know how to address it. There's no way to know how to address it because you're not aware of what the cause is.
You ever hear this statement, nothing's wrong with me, I'm fine?
I've never said that myself.
And yet the doctor's going, you know what, dude? You're not doing very good.
You're overweight.
You need to change.
You can't exercise. You're... Heart is having issues. You've got liver disease. Yeah, you're fine. You're right.
Fine.
Not a problem.
Need to change a few things. I love this picture because here's this person being set outside the camp, mm-hmm. and you're always going, you know, we need to inspect you a little bit. You're not doing so good, man. You're bringing havoc towards the camp. A person cannot conquer their illness if they don't take action. If they just ignore it, nothing's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. It'll go away.
Yeah. All right. So what does Paul mean by this? So let's read another verse because it almost seems like Paul is contradicting himself. But I'm going to let to see if you guys catch the nuances. Romans 8, 37 to 39. Because right now, yeah. Well, I'm not going to say anything.
Okay? you're going to give yourself away. Is that what you almost did.
Romans 8, 37 to 39. He says this. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in the Messiah, Yeshua, our King. Does God separate or do we separate? because right now we're learning from the Torah section, you have to be separated from the camp in order to have some introspection. And we also find out in the first part of Romans that our own mind is death and our flesh is hostile. But yet it says here, nothing's going to separate us from God.
But here's the thing.
Did you see it?
Nothing's going to separate us from the love of God, the love that he has for us.
That never goes away.
That never goes away. He will always have that love for us, even if we're rejecting it.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Well, it's not so cool if we reject
it. Well, that, you're right. But you're right. The nuance there is cool, that his love for us never goes away.
Yeah.
Even if we go and reject it and don't pay attention to it, it's still there. Mm-hmm. And we can realize that and go, oh, hey, I screwed up. I pulled away. I can turn around and go back. It's the prodigal son.
If I subject myself to his loss.
Yeah. The prodigal son, when he realized, hey, my father's servants get treated better than what I'm living at right now, I'm going to go back. I'm probably not going to be treated the same, but at least I'm going to get some food. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to go back. But the father's love was still there for his son.
Can you imagine why that prodigal son actually left? He was probably thinking, I don't like the rules of my father's house, or mm-hmm. I want to be independent. I want to follow my own fleshly desires. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Right? So he leaves. Then he comes back, and he's probably thinking again, shoot, if I go back, my dad has some rules in his house.
Well, he was willing, after so much bad had happened to him, he was willing to suck it up and admit his error.
Yeah, because he had learned about where he was at, yeah.
Yeah, he was willing to take on his father's rules, whereas before he wanted to do his own rules, period.
Yeah, suck it up, buttercup, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I think one of the downfalls of our modern, quote, Christian thinking in church is that all the old, all the rules, all the laws of God have been done away with. Therefore, we don't have to subject ourselves yeah. mm-hmm. to them.
Right.
And what does that leave us? I mean, think about this. Let's go back to
lawlessness.
Or let's go back to this person that the pastor was saying to. I don't need God because I have car, money, wealth, and I can even transgender myself.
Right. I have full control over me. I am autonomous.
Right. So that doesn't lead that person to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And without repentance, why do we need a Messiah? So without law, there's no need for a Messiah. If there's no law,
mm-hmm.
then what good is the New Testament? Because there's no reason to repent. There's no reason for us to subject.
And that's
right?
what I find just incredibly, I was going to say, stupid. Not necessarily in that word per se, but how can there not be a need for law? I mean,
yeah.
I don't care what you believe. Just to exist, you have to compromise. Because if you have a neighbor and you even remotely consider your neighbor, mm-hmm. whether you like him or not, you have to consider his neighbor your neighbor because he's right next door to you.
Yeah.
And he may be bigger than you, or he's got more cars than you, or whatever, you know.
Hang on. We'll be right back.
To Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
utter chaos.
It is chaos. Yep.
Chaos will rule, and that will mean a lot of death.
Yeah.
What you've stumbled upon, I think, is what's so critical. Many times people ask, when they see things in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
why does God release a plague in the camp? Why does he do these sorts of things? And I think it is all around this idea of an evil tongue or evil chaos. Something enters a camp,
mm-hmm.
like the term leprosy. Yeah, we'll still use that term because it means it creeps.
Mm-hmm.
It slowly eats away. It festers.
Right.
And it takes away the wholeness of a person. And the same way is true, you know, with the evil tongue. It takes away the wholeness. So when God sets something outside the camp, that's still love, I think.
Yeah.
Because he's asking us to have a time out, think about this, and then be subjected to him to come in and let him inspect our sores. Let him inspect those things that are eating our insides out.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's festering coming out because it's all about that inside spirit.
Right.
If our inside spirit's polluted, well, it's going to just magnify itself as it comes out.
Right.
Let's read this text here for you and see how you respond. This is 2 Samuel 18:33. David is on his porch outside of his kingdom overlooking the valley, and his generals finally come to him and say that Absalom has been killed.
Okay.
Now, remember, Absalom is his son who actually tried to take away his kingdom.
Okay, right.
He had an evil tongue. In fact, he would sit at the front of the gates and tell everyone about how bad his dad was. Okay, this is his own son.
Mm-hmm.
But look what David says. My son, oh, that I had died for you. Now, what kind of picture? Because in the Hebrew world, there's all these pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Here you have King David, the house of David, the area of Jerusalem. And Yeshua is called the son of David. Yeshua weeps over us, and he says, my son, oh, that I have died for you.
Mm-hmm.
Change that just a little bit. Yeshua and the Father, I think, weep or they grieve whenever we have a problem. Look at this text. This is Psalms 78:40. And Yahweh gives a reaction to the house of Israel. And he said this, oh, how often they rebelled against Yahweh in the wilderness and grieved Yahweh in the desert.
Mm.
Does it make you have, well, I don't know if we can say this or not, because sometimes when I sent Johnny outside of the room, I was very happy I didn't grieve.
Right.
But if you let your son or daughter or someone's close to you experience a consequence,
mm-hmm.
can you grieve along beside them if it's a negative one?
Yeah.
Well, it's like, most of us do not do this. We don't look at it from Yahweh's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
If we tried to do that periodically, which we can't do it completely because we're not that big,
mm-hmm.
but we should try because he loves us just as you as a parent love your little child. That little child is 1 year old, 2 years old, and you're 50, whatever you are. And the difference is just drastic. It's vast. Well, Yahweh is the creator of all things who made you, created you, gave you life, breathed into you life. And he loves you far beyond your love for your child. And that is the closest we can come to understanding him is looking at it from his perspective that he made us. He loves us in that manner that you love your child. And so if we don't do that, we don't look at him from our perspective, we do him such a disservice because he's showing this all in this word to give us his character, to show us who he is.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he loves us. You know?
So you're talking about looking at another person in a way that is saying, you're in need of the Messiah.
Yeah.
Or you're in need of Yahweh's love.
Yeah.
You need a time out.
Well, and we have to figure out a different way to
how to do
say
that.
Yeah, because most of the time we don't do it very good at all.
No, and it upsets the person.
Yeah, because
I don't need no timeout.
We end up belittling them,
right,
in our judgment of them, because that's what we end up doing is judging them instead of trying to give them the truth.
Yeah, see, I can, you know, when I look at the this law that's within the Torah. Of the inspection of this disease.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say the high priest or the priest is being mean to them or even passing judgment. They're just looking at the sore itself.
Yeah.
Not the whole person. They're looking at the sore.
Yeah.
What's causing this infection to come upon you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And we need to get this thing cleaned up.
And that's the thing is we have to remember that that is a gift, a punishment, a judgment. However you want to term that, that's from Yahweh. Mm-hmm. That's not a disease that developed because you got a bug. It was a disease given to you from Yahweh because you were thinking ill or you were speaking ill. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want that in his camp with his children. So he delivered this to you. And once you come to that understanding and you look at it from that perspective, you say, whoa.
Yeah, because inside Yahweh's house, there should be peace.
Amen.
There should be love.
Yep.
Outside Yahweh's house, there is confusion,
mm-hmm.
anger, fleshly desires. We even see that in the picture of Bereshit. Inside the Garden of Eden, there's peace. Outside the Garden of Eden, man rules over woman. Woman receives pain. Man has to till the ground. We have all these weeds we have to pull.
Yep.
It's... You know, not mm-hmm. so cool.
No.
You know. By the way, how's the weed pulling going, Aaron? You feeling pretty good about it?
Leave me alone.
He doesn't like weeds.
Yeah, and at my age, when, in the 60s, you know, after about 3 or 4 hours of that, you stand up and all of a sudden you go, oh, what's that? Oh, that's my back.
Yeah. No, I've actually resorted to just getting some Noxol and just spraying that up. Or, you know, sprinkling that out and just like, okay, just kill it all.
Well, I think this law of Metzorah is an approach to healing ourselves, our body, our mind, our spirit, our soul.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done only through Yahweh.
Well, the one thing we kind of haven't really talked about that much is when we're put outside of the camp, what else are we
doing out there,
or what should we be doing out there? What is part of the purpose? And that's that introspective. Like,
yeah.
I need to look at me.
Exactly.
And see what's going on with me in this timeout.
That's causing this to come out.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a great way to approach someone. What's causing the anger that you're feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can we pray about that? Can we talk about it? I'm here to listen.
Mm-hmm.
What's causing jealousy? What's causing this? Most of the time, people are going to say, what? I'm not jealous.
Yeah, no.
Really?
Okay.
All right. Let's just sit here for a moment and look at each other.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do we approach this? Tuck, I mean, people, we all have baggage.
Yeah, we do. It's a matter of if a person in need is truly in need, and the first requirement for us is to recognize whether or not they know that they're in need. If they do, if we truly do recognize that they see that lack in themselves, then we have something to work with.
Right.
If they do not admit this, well then, if you try to drill this in, if you try to, you know, promote this healing where they don't see a lack, well, then you're barking up a tree. It's not somewhere you should be going.
I mean, it's the alcoholic.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to say, no, my drinking is under control. I drink as I want.
Yeah.
But everybody else can kind of see, no, you're out of control.
Yeah, control.
And it's not until they finally recognize, oh yeah, I don't have control over this. It is controlling me. It's not until that moment that they kind of realize, hey, I might need to do something about this. Not that they do it all the time at that moment or not, but they have to get to that moment before right. they can truly make a
make the admission.
Mm-hmm.
So this speaking ill, what does that have to do with fretting? And how does anything that we've talked about have to do with fretting in the camp, out of the camp?
Just answer that question yourself. What is fretting? Fretting is worrying. Mm-hmm. Whether it's worrying about yourself, worried about somebody else, whatever. It's a worry. It's wasting energy. And if it's based upon yourself, you're worried about how the world views you. You're worried about how Roland views me, how Aaron views me, how whomever mm-hmm. views me. I'm worried that that perception is not correct.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I'm content with myself, if I'm content with how I view life and how I'm living my life, then I respect you guys and I love you guys, but I don't care what you think because my way is okay for me. I'm mm-hmm. doing, relatively speaking, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect you. I want you in my life, but if you have something really civil to bring towards me, well, then we can have a discussion about it. We can talk about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, what if this were to happen? If I were to take that full concept that you just gave me, I've met people like this in a church or a school, and they're going, well, I'm okay with what I said to this person.
Right.
And then, but you're going and telling them and said, well, that person is really offended by what you just said to them. So how would you take that then? So you'd have to say, yeah. Okay, well, tell me what you heard.
Yeah.
And let's have a civil discussion.
And see if we agree upon what was spoken.
Right on.
Exactly.
Right
that,
on.
That's where you have to come to the agreement of what I said, what was interpreted that I said, mm-hmm. and how it was related
versus
to you.
What they heard.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then if the agreement is made that, yes, I heard what you said, those are the same, and they're still offended.
Then what do you do?
Tough.
Yeah.
I stand by what I said.
Yeah.
You being offended is your issue.
Yeah.
It's not my issue.
Or we can agree that this is where I'm at and this is where you're at.
Yeah.
This is where many times people will come to conclusions like, well, I haven't seen the Seventh-day Sabbath yet.
Mm-hmm.
And another person says, I have seen the Seventh-day Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do I still show genuine love towards that person or do I separate myself? I think we're still to show genuine love towards that person.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
Because now let God be the judge. Let him move mm-hmm. the heart accordingly. This, why I was thinking about this fret thing too, I was thinking about this one verse that we had read in chapter 37. It said, fret not yourself. It leads only to evil doing. That's in verse 8. So what is evil doing? So Tuck asked, well, what's fretting?
Mm-hmm.
What is evil doing? So you come to a fellowship or you come to a church at your family. We know that evil doing is anything outside of Yahweh's doing,
right?
So here's Yahweh's doing. Good. Evil doing is outside of his doing. Yes, we agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No?
Well, it's not no, but it's like there are so many degrees of gray
mm-hmm.
along with black and white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just black and white because there's a lot of what ifs. And but then you bring up the thing, well, anything not of Yahweh is dark
mm-hmm.
and is black. So I would, you know, that would be the argument against what I just said.
Okay, so if I'm being literal with that, well, Yahweh didn't necessarily make my pants, so my pants aren't evil, but Yahweh gave us the ability to make pants.
Right.
That's good. Right?
Yeah. But what you do with that.
But to put holes in my jeans, that's evil.
No, yeah. It's not evil, but you have to question it.
Yeah, what I'm thinking about this fretting is how often you go to someone or like to a church and all they do is fret about how
all of the things.
All the evil mm-hmm. doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's in the world. Okay? So if I'm that takes us away from being in or praising or
right.
worshiping,
distraction,
and we start doing evil.
Right.
My response
to that is that if you, as the person who brings up that that query has a solution, a bona fide solution that is workable, mm-hmm. bring it up. Let's talk about it. Let's go from there. But if all you're going to do is fret about it and bring worry to the camp, that's baloney. It's worthless because you're not bringing a solution. You're just bringing an awareness to the worry.
So you're creating chaos.
Yeah. Or creating fear.
Fear, chaos, upsetness.
And that's one thing that Yahweh doesn't want in his camp. He doesn't want fear in the camp.
Yeah, because isn't it amazing? Like, we've always talked about this as a group. Like, we can only talk so long about stuff that's kind of gross. You know, but when we start talking about the goodness of God, I start feeling clean again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Right. Isn't that weird?
No, it's not weird. It's very straightforward.
Yeah.
Because he is good.
He is good.
And he promotes well. You know?
Wow. The wise guys have been around for a while, right?
13 years? You've been here since 11?
Wow, since 2010.
10, so 13, 14 years.
Really? You know what I love about this show? I mean,
is it the longest running show on Hebrew Nation?
I think it is. well, maybe not. I mean, Come Out of Her, My People with Mark Call has been going on for a long time.
Okay.
And,
but at this point, it's probably one of the longest.
Yeah. And then we also have Torah Study, which is Michael Clayton. Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely the longest 2-hour live show. Everyone else runs these podcasts, mm-hmm. but we take the risk of no edits and just struggling with topics.
Yeah, and struggling with technology.
Well, that doesn't stop just when the show stops. Right. So,
You know, but I think over the years, I mean, how have you guys been blessed when we interview people? I mean, what does that do for you? I think I want to go down this road just a little bit on the last few minutes because we do call ourselves the wise guys, not to say we have the answers.
We have all the wisdom.
No. We call ourselves the wise guys.
Because we're wisecrackers.
Yeah. No,
well, that's part of it. We're looking at truth with a humorful vein.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's because it's – if you have to be truly honest with each other, that truth from a human perspective is hilarious sometimes because Yahweh made us and we try so hard to be righteous and so good. And sometimes we're just such butts.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's using the nice word.
I know. Yeah. I know.
You know, but the other term for being wise too is looking for answers outside of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, because many times we don't have all the answers.
No.
And yes, we do not. So why not interview other people? Mm-hmm. Why not discuss a biblical text?
And you get different perspectives.
Yeah.
You know, because that's one of the things I've enjoyed so much about Messianic is every year you study the same stuff that you studied the previous year and the mm-hmm. previous year and the previous year. And sometimes part of you thinks, well, doesn't that get really boring? No, because there's new stuff every year. You know, all of a sudden there's stuff there that shows up that this wasn't here last year.
Yeah.
And you have to say, well, yes, it was. I just didn't see it last year. I wasn't mature enough last year.
Well, you didn't have all of the pieces to find that
exactly.
piece.
Yeah.
Once you understand all these other pieces, it's like, oh, now this one makes sense over here now.
And until we get to Yahweh's level, Yeshua's level, the Ruach's level, which ain't ever going to happen, we will attain more and more perfection, mm-hmm. and we will understand more and more things, and it will be more and more glorious as the truth is revealed to us, mm-hmm. but we will never become them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's always going to be learning. There's always going to be new things.
Which means it's okay to ask a question.
That's right.
And it's okay to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's okay to question something that someone tells you
mm-hmm.
or get clarification.
Including the master.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, why not get clarification? I don't get what you just said, or I don't understand. Wouldn't it be nice at any church that could happen at any time?
Right. You know? But we know some churches where it's like, no, you don't question.
Yeah.
I'm the authority.
Yeah. I went to seminary. Yeah. I went to catechism. I went to whatever. It's like, yeah. I know all the things.
But a good pastor would be wise and say, you know, maybe I didn't say that well enough.
Yeah.
Or how, thanks for bringing that up. Let me clarify.
Or if a question comes like, huh, like I hadn't thought of that. Let me put that in the soup now.
Yeah.
And see what happens. Oh, something changed.
Yeah. But notice even what we're doing, even right now, we're almost projecting what a pastor should do. I'm saying in this show right now is that we should start first with ourselves, ask ourselves if we're okay with someone asking us that question.
Yeah.
You know, can I handle someone saying to me,
can I answer that question honestly?
Right on.
Yeah.
So we start with our own
introspection.
Thank you. Yes.
That word.
What classes did you teach when you were a teacher?
Yeah, right? I'm older now. Come on. Give me a break.
Spelling, I think.
Yeah, spelling.
All right. Well, we're going to end up with this here in just a few moments. What was one of the better shows that you guys have ever heard? I think, you know, you guys go on back. If you want to know some of the shows that we've gone over, go to Hebrew Nation Radio online.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And go down to the schedule. And we're always on Tuesday mornings at 8. We're on at other times too, at 8 a.m.
That's the live show.
That's the live show. And you go to learn more. And you go to learn more and you get to see a whole bunch of podcasts that you can pull up.
Yeah.
Many of the teachers, many of the shows have that little button. And you can go over things. There's titles, there's descriptions. It tells you what was being talked about, and you can refresh yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like last week, it was a great conversation.
Yeah.
You know, we got to meet with someone who knew a lot about money.
Yeah.
Okay, and he imparted wisdom and information about gold and silver and how to diversify yourself. Look that one up.
Since then? Gold and silver has gone up. So, you know,
yeah.
Listen to this show more often.
Right?
Maybe that might not be the right lesson there, but.
You know, and find yourself to a fellowship or somewhere to go or start one in your home. Even if you're starting one within your home, you're at least talking with other people and running ideas by them. So you don't just introspect yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you may be dead on with your interpretation of scripture, but you are bound to make mistakes if you're only by yourself.
Yeah.
Because we are not perfect.
Yeah. Get some clarification.
Yeah.
You know, see if you're on the right track.
Different viewpoints.
You can also, we inspire you to go ahead and, you know, give to Hebrew Nation Radio online. We could use some funds. We're trying to bring in a person to head up our technology area. As you know, Phil is going to be retiring soon, and he's been a wonderful asset to Hebrew Nation Radio for years.
Yeah.
He's been the backbone of running everything, making sure things go okay.
he's been around longer than you have, actually.
I think that guy's amazing. I mean, there's no one better. You know, so if you want to give, please feel free to do that. What else can we say today as we close out? Tuck, you got some final words for people with what we've gone over? Aaron, you know, what do you got? I think the biggest thing for me is don't give up.
Yeah.
Stay the course.
Yeah.
Do not let yourself be like that animal that's dragged down by a predator.
Mm-hmm.
And just give up because you're so overwhelmed. Yeah. Right now, our world is overwhelming us, and it seems like we can't even fight against it.
Yeah. I mean, this Torah portion, the if I remember correctly, where you're at, I'm reading a different stage. The people of Israel are still in the wilderness, right? That was a long time, so just keep it up.
Keep it up.
His light now shines, the darkness must flee. The darkness must flee from the living word. His light now shines.
the darkness must flee.